Hello again, and welcome to the next installment of the Who Cares About Anime podcast. I'm Johnny Lobo, and as per usual, I have a great cast of characters and good friends here today. As we've taken to saying here, they're what I like to call friends and peers in the anime viewing and critiquing world. I'm going to go ahead and give a brief introduction for everybody. Some names you might recognize, but anyway, here we go. First off, you'll remember him from the Trigun episode we did. Here's Chuck.
Hello, everybody.
And once again, found some time, my friend Michael and Did You Know Anime creator joining us here today.
I want to rock your body, and in parentheses, till the break of dawn.
Oh, man. While I'm recovering from that one, introducing first time on this podcast, a good friend of ours, but he's no stranger to podcasts, and he's what we call a Tenchi Cast alumni, and he's certainly no stranger to various facets of anime fandom, such as high caliber fan fiction and podcasts much like this one. But anyway, without further ado, here's our mutual friend Will.
Sup, everybody.
All right, everyone, here we go, and for this one here, you know, we wanted to expand a little bit on what we can do with this podcast. We wanted to have fun, as is always the theme here, but also a little bit of celebrations in order. We broke 100 subscribers already for this podcast, so we're all just ecstatic about that. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and so for today, instead of a particular title, what we're going to do is we're just going to go around. And none of us know each other's responses ahead of time, but we're going to go around the table and we're going to get everybody's top five favorite works of music related to anime from anime of all time. So here we go. We're just going to jump right into it and we're going to start with everybody's number five. I know this is going to be tough, everybody, to narrow it down to that, but here we go. We'll go ahead and let's start with Chuck.
My number five. And as you said, John, my top five is extremely hard to narrow down, but I think I've got it mostly intact. And my number five is from the fantastic Studio Ghibli film Princess Mononoke, and my number five is called The Legend of Ashitaka. And that is the theme that plays in the beginning of the movie, and in scenes throughout, and it has a very lyrical quality and a very epic quality, but I feel like it perfectly captures the mystical and very metaphysical qualities of the movie. It feels like a classic adventure story theme with mixes of Japanese tradition and really mythological qualities. And it just, it feels like a wonderful, wonderful theme to a wonderful, wonderful movie. Overall, I would say this one, it could probably be higher in my list, but I generally like pieces of music that have lyrics to it. And so as a theme and as a background music, this one is probably one of the best I can think of, but it doesn't reach any higher than number five for me because of its lack of lyrics.
All right, excellent, excellent choice. Mike, how about you?
Well, as I'm sure everybody in here will say, you know, coming up with a top five themes out of the hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of themes that have been made, openings, endings, background music, the whole nine yards for anime is particularly difficult. But in my own little way, this is even more difficult because I've always been a music person, a musician, the whole nine yards, and so I had to really like buckle down and try and, you know, try and keep nostalgia aside with a little bit of objectivity and everything in between. But I think for me, number five, in the title of the track, is called Dragon Ball Z, from the anime Dragon Ball Z, done by Bruce Faulkner. Fans of the Japanese soundtrack of Dragon Ball Z and the opening Head Shallah will probably disagree with me on this, but, you know, even though we are 15 years removed from Toonami, I'd bet dollar to Vash the Stampede donuts that 85 to 90% of viewers who came into DBZ came in through the Faulkner soundtrack. It's never more personified than by the little opening jingle with its ripping guitar solos and synth rock, which perfectly, in my ever so humble opinion, fit the show much better than the Japanese version. Call it nostalgia, call it bias. I call it my fifth favorite song on the list.
All right, hey, that's all right. This is all about our opinions, so nobody can take your opinion away from you. And I agree with Bruce Faulkner soundtrack for DBZ. That's certainly what I grew up with. So probably a little bit of bias there, but I think it fit perfectly and better, again, in my opinion, than anything I've ever heard since on the numerous re-releases, of course, that it's had. Will, how about you? Number five.
My number five. I was checking through my massive collection of MP3s since some of them haven't been modified since the year 2000, which that should date me rather well. But my fifth one actually is not a old song. It is actually from a new series that I saw this past year. It is from Parasite the Maxim. It's the opening "Let Me Hear" by Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. And yes, that's the name of the band, is Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. How cool is that? But it is a... Surprisingly, considering that the subject matter of the series is a horror anime, the opening theme actually kind of alternates between being hard rock, death metal, has even chiptune in it. It is just kind of a hodgepodge of different styles. And I guess call it my eclectic taste, but I like songs like that. So that and just going at the beginning of an anime theme just kind of gets me pumped. The only time I've ever heard a death metal song used as an opening theme was one of the Bleach themes, I think like season 3 or something, really early on before I stopped caring.
Oh, all right. Interesting. I've not had the pleasure yet, so thank you for that already, Will. I got something new to check out when we're done here. For my number five, as was said, very hard to do, but I went with one from a series I discovered in, 2010, I believe, and that franchise is Full Metal Alchemist. A lot of great music from that, from both iterations, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. The one I chose, though, for number five really captures the entire theme of what the narrative is about, and not just on a simple, superficial level, like here's what the premise is. It tugs at your heartstrings, and that song is Brother, in the English version, sung by Mr. Vic Mignogna, I believe, who's got a nice set of pipes on him, does a wonderful job. Specifically, though, my preferred version is actually Braja. If I'm saying that properly, that's my best attempt at the Russian title, and it is entirely in Russian. And I don't speak Russian, so again, it goes with I don't know as I'm listening to it, unless I pull up some sort of visual aid. I don't know word for word everything that is being said, but it's the pathos of it comes through more than loud and clear. And you know, to this day, I can pull that up and it just instantly tugs at my heartstrings, and it's just a gorgeous piece. Well, all right, boys, we've gotten through number five, so maybe that will make things a little bit easier now, although I suspect probably not, but hey, wishful thinking here. So on to number four. What do you have for us, Chuck?
I have for number four one from an older series, one that should be very popular with fans of an older generation, like such as myself. It is from the original version of Sailor Moon, circa 1992. It is the tragic romantic theme that plays at all of the really heart-wrenching moments throughout the series, and it is called Protect the Stars. I like this song very much because, well, one, it plays at all of the really heart-wrenching moments of the first two seasons, but two, it really calls to me in ways that many of the other themes and romantic themes I've heard in anime just are unable to do, because not only are the characters of Sailor Moon so wonderfully written and so wonderfully acted, but the composition of especially the first season of Sailor Moon was wonderfully done, because at that point they didn't know if they really had a hit on their hands. And of course, we now know that they did, one of the greatest hits of all time, but at that time they were really pouring their hearts and souls into a series that may or may not have been something big at that time, and it really shows in just the heart-wrenching quality of this romantic theme. And I personally feel like it perfectly encapsulates the romantic themes and the emotional themes of the entire series, which is one of the greatest series of all time, in my opinion. And so Protect the Stars is my number four for all of those reasons.
Very nice, very nice. And I think we all hear, and many listeners out there, well, not that you can't find that nowadays, but boy, there is definitely some gems back in the day, and in hindsight became very big, that you can tell when they really poured their souls into it, definitely. Mike, how about you?
Well, my number four is probably not going to be a stranger to anybody in this room, but my number four is Up Walk in Galaxy by Seiko Nagaoka, done in English by Diane Michelle, from the anime Tenchi Universe. Up Walk in Galaxy was my number four because it's one of the very few themes today that, you know, isn't, in my mind, tainted by whatever the hell Tenchi Muyo has turned into. And it's just the embodiment of Tenchi. It's fun, in the sun, good times. It stands out from other Tenchi themes in my mind because it sounds like it came from the 90s. Like, it's hard to explain. It just has that kind of the way they composed it, the way they mastered it. It sounds like it's from the 90s, which obviously Tenchi has that kind of sound that permeates all of the music. But in particular, Up Walking Galaxy could, you know, if you would have put it in a lineup with other shows from the 90s, music-wise, it would just, it fit right in. And in a weird kind of way, I think that makes it stand out to me than every other theme, which kind of has a bit of a timelessness to it. And anything in Tenchi that can still make me smile, I always think of Up Walking Galaxy. So that's why it's my number four.
And an excellent choice it is, my friend. And we all here, I'm sure, agree with that. And if you're curious, listeners, we're all Tenchi fans from way back in the day. And we even did a podcast dedicated to our favorite Tenchi song, so we're going to have links to that in the description as well. So, yeah, thanks for that, Mike. Brought back good memories there. How about you, Will, for number four?
For number four, I'm going to cheat, because I can't decide on my number four. I can't decide if You Should Live or Die. You should listen to the Scissor Sisters because they're cool. But no, my number four is going to be split, because the reason being is they're both themes from the same series sung by the same woman. They're both sung by Yumiko Kosaka. They're both opening themes to Tekkaman Blade. The first one is Reason, which is the first half of the series, and Eternal Loneliness is the second half of the series. Both of them have very similar styles, and I love them both for the same reason. The woman puts a lot of soul into her voice, and she belts out some good chords. And set that against early 90s hard rock guitar and power chord riffs, I'm sold. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. I mean, think about it. You're about to go into a series with a bunch of stuff blowing up, a lot of drama, and a lot of high-powered action. You need a song that has some metal guitar in it, and that right there, hard rock guitar, I love it. It was delightful. Check it out.
That reminds me, Will, why haven't I seen Tekkaman Blade yet? That's that's a classic I need to get around to, so thank you for sharing that. For my number four, I don't know if reluctantly is the right word. I'm torn with this one, and I realize not everyone out there listening might be familiar with this, maybe not, but I bet a lot of you are. And for number four, I chose Cruel Angel's Thesis. I love that piece. I love it. I love everything about it. And the reason I said reluctantly, or, you know, some sort of hesitation you might be sensing in my voice right now, is, you know, this is one of the reasons it's on my top five, is I really like it as a song, And I think Mike can attest to this. Like, it'll just get stuck in my head at random times during the workday, and there it is. It's just stuck. That's that. But you know, it's when I really listen to it, or just hear, whether it's even if it's something done in a parody or something, an AMV on YouTube or elsewhere, it's, you know, it's kind of the it's the flashbacks, man. It takes me there every time, and the memories come flooding back of Ava. I was really late to the game on getting into Evangelion, and I finally did here with much prodding from some of course present right now, my friends in the anime viewing community were like, dude, what are you doing? And so I'm still in recovery from the mental scars, and a good reminder of those scars, if just in case somehow I somehow manage to forget, every time I hear that, it all comes flooding back to me. All right, on to number three. What do you got for us, Chuck?
Well, it's actually interesting that you brought up Cruel Angel Thesis. When composing my list of top five, I was really torn about what to include, obviously. And I really wanted to include Cruel Angel Thesis. I really did. But I decided to set for myself a rule that I wouldn't include any openings or endings of series, because I felt like they're so ubiquitous and they're so well known that everybody knows them and everybody can recognize the quality of them. And so I decided to purposefully exclude any openings or endings from my top five list, but that is by no means a comment on the quality of said openings or endings, because I love openings and endings. But for me, I'm trying to go for more, maybe lesser known, but overshadowed works of anime soundtracks. And so just for those listening, that's why I haven't included any openings or endings in mine, but especially the ending that Mike said, and you, John, the opening Cruel Angel Thesis, those are both wonderful pieces and I love them to death, and they truly deserve to be in anyone's top five. But for me, with the exclusion of openings and endings for my top three, I am probably going to have to go with one of my personal favorites, and this is from the Fooly Cooly soundtrack by the ever-wonderful band Pillows. And I love the Pillows very much. They're such a great punk rock band from Japan. Everyone should listen to everything they've done, not just their Fooly Cooly soundtrack work. But in particular, I would like to highlight now a song called Little Busters. And Little Busters is a great song because it plays throughout the series of Fooly Cooly, which is only six episodes, but this song generally plays when things are really getting serious, and not just serious, but formative. And that's such a great word to describe the series as in general, formative. And Little Busters plays at the most incredible points in the series, when the main character, Naota, is learning about growing up and being an adult and taking responsibility. And so this is such a great song that captures those angsty vibes of middle school, and while at the same time maintaining just this badass tone that Fooly Cooly maintains throughout. And so Little Busters comes in at number three in my list for all of those reasons.
That's an excellent choice, and thank you for putting some self-imposed stipulations on yourself there, Chuck, to bring to the listeners and perhaps some of us here as well, bring some attention to some lesser-known pieces that certainly are deserving of the spotlight. And for any viewers, of course, the series itself, if you haven't already, Fooly Cooly, take the plunge. It's great stuff. All right, Mike, what do you got for number three?
Well, you know, as we start getting into the higher levels of everything, this gets harder and harder. But for me, my number three would be a piece called Breeze by Ko Otani from the show Outlaw Star. You know, when you think about your favorite shows, I don't have, there's no, if we were to go into a top 10, there'd be, you know, a little bit more contemporary stuff. But, you know, a lot of these shows from the 90s, in particular the space westerns, they had themes that, you know, their music was just so diverse and so, just so memorable. Every piece that played during any particular theme takes you right back to that spot. And Breeze, in particular, is the kind of somber harmonica theme that plays every time there's a somber moment. When Hilda died, spoiler alert, not really. When Gene was remembering his father. When Gene is getting ready to duel with one of the K-Pirates, one of the On 10-7. This theme just is so perfectly on point. You can literally, it's almost like a tangible feeling of, you know, like a somber note that only the sounds of a harmonica could really, really bring to life. And I think Kōwa Tani did not just a phenomenal job on the soundtrack, but this theme in particular, again, one that I always go back to, instant favorite.
Right on, right on. Another gem of a title there that could use more attention. Boy, somebody ought to do a podcast episode on that or something. All right, Will, what do you got?
Damn you for having to restrict us to three. Like Chuck, I gave myself some restrictions to try and get it down to five. And my bottom three, four, and five were restricted to TV series themes, and the top two I'm restricting to movie or OVA themes of sorts. And my number three is the best TV series theme. Is there some nostalgia in this? Yes. Is there some personal experience in this? Yes. But this one's going out to my heart. This one is the Tenchi Muyo TV theme by Sonia, which is the opening to Tenchi Universe. Why? Because I love the damn series. That's why. There's also some history here. It was the second CD I ever bought, and listening to that CD, when I first heard that theme in English and then in Japanese, I didn't know at the time that it was originally in Japanese because I was a noob to anime when I was 17. And not only that, I heard that there was a second verse and that there was this badass guitar solo near the end. I just squeed with joy when I was 17 years old and jumping around in my bedroom with my parents. It was a lovely thing, and it just captured my heart. I love the song. It is poppy as hell. It has a excellent guitar solo. It also, the lyrics, if you listen to the English version or the Japanese version, if you look at the translation of the Japanese lyrics, the English version is not that far off. It basically tells of the plight of one Masaki Tenchi and how you can't escape it. There ain't no use in trying, my friend. And it sets up the show very well. It's very fun. It's very upbeat. It sets the series up very well. I love the show, and I love the song. So there you go.
That's a great choice in my book. Definitely agree with you there. And other themes from the era we're kind of referencing here, the 90s, perfect quintessential example of when they went above and beyond by today's standards anyway. And you had an English version that was right on par with the Japanese version as well. I wish I could remember the artist's name. But anyway, the Spanish version as well was also really well done, helped me practice my Espanol a little bit, and actually, it's been a while since I listened to it. I need to do that again. But they also did a really good job with, you know, keeping the beat, keeping all the musical components there to be true to that, you know, make it work with its own native language and also get the meaning across. So great choice. Number three for me, you know, I do like that, you know, we kind of got a thing going here. We'll see how it progresses when we get into the top tiers. We got Will kind of doing TV shows specifically, and Chuck wanting to, you know, shine light on, say, some lesser known stuff, and Mike's got, you know, 90s stuff, and it's a good mix here, really, really good mix. Mine, it was so hard choosing, as I know it is for everyone else here, so I just said, all right, I'm not going to think about it. I'm just going to, as though I were putting on a piece of paper, boom, you know, if I was to just listen to an anime soundtrack right now or song, what would it be? Go, boom. And so to that end, a lot of mine are going to be, I think all of mine are probably Well, no, not all are openings, but I think most of them are. And on, again, striking that ubiquitous tone. But this one's perhaps not super well known. I hope it is. It's a great series and a little more contemporary, at least from my standpoint. I think it's probably, well, it's aging now, I guess, like we all are. But it's a great series and had a fantastic opening to go along with it, and that's the song I'm referencing. So the series is called Baccano, and the opening theme there is called Guns N' Roses. Will, you said this funny, had Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. They're here, that's the name of the song. It's not the band, obviously, and the band doesn't have, doesn't take the, you know, the name of Guns N' Roses. The band is actually Paradise Lunch. And but that's the song title, it's Guns N' Roses. And not to get into too much of the whole package of the opening there, because we're focusing on the music here, but along those terms, not since, you know, bebop had I seen an opening that was that avant-garde, and it was that it's unique, and yet it's also it's perfectly tailored to what it's introducing you to, what it's bringing you in for. It's, you know, it's upbeat, it's jazzy, it's and it just gets you in the mood for escapades and hijinks with rum runners and bootleggers and you know, the big swing 20th century Americana, New York, Big Apple, Manhattan. And so I just the first time I heard that, I bet that was 2012 when I watched Baccano. I immediately acquired it, and I was listening to that thing every day for days and days and days. I'd listen to it on the way to work. I had it as my ringtone for a while. It's just so gosh darn catchy, and I love it. It's always going to be one of my favorites, so that's why I put it in my number three. All righty, here we go. Nitty gritty, do or die time. Getting into the top two here, so let's keep a good thing going here. Chuck, why don't you bring us into number two?
Well, like you say, it is do or die time, and I felt like dying picking my top two, honestly, to tell you the truth. And so when coming down to my top two, I decided to really try and find a piece that spoke to me on an emotional level that I could really, really understand and really get into. And for me, there is no greater emotional piece of work overall than the movie End of Evangelion. So the piece that I've chosen is from End of Evangelion, but it might not be the one that most people would think. It isn't Kamsuzer Todd, which is a wonderful piece of music, by the way, but it is a piece that has a Japanese name that I can't begin to pronounce, but the rough translation is Dreams of Clearance. And I won't spoil anything about the plot of End of Evangelion, but this comes almost toward the very end of the movie. And it perfectly encapsulates just the feeling of relief that you've come through this terrible thing, this terrible, terrible event in your life. And so you feel relief, but at the same time, you have no idea what to do next. You are totally lost. And this piece, only a minute and a half long, perfectly captures this feeling of simultaneous relief and dread. And I've never seen a piece that's done the same thing. And to me personally, this piece of music perfectly symbolizes coming out of a traumatic event, coming out of something that's utterly changed your life, that's been a terrible experience, but you've emerged on the other side victorious, but not quite whole, and not sure of your future. And it's unsettling and hopeful at the same time. And in that way, it's the most emotionally stirring piece I've ever heard in an anime. And so Dreams of Clearance, or whatever it's called, whatever you know it as, that is my number two.
Well, that's going to be hard to top. Good thing ain't a competition here, man. Excellent, excellent choice. Mike, what do you got?
Funny that you would say that, because my number two is Come Sister Todd. Obviously, everybody knows from End of Evangelion, lyrics by Hideaki Anno, performed and, you know, composed by Shiro Sagisu and Ariane. Come Sweet Death, Come Sister Todd. That point in the movie was the point where that movie went from being, in my personal opinion, one of the best anime movies of all time to the best anime movie of all time, because so many emotions are hard to convey. It's kind of like when people talk about writing drama or comedy, they say, you know, everybody will always say, oh, well, writing comedy is harder. Oh, well, writing drama is harder. But I think one of the hardest points to convey in any medium is the break point, like the absolute you're done point. Everybody can talk about going postal, but to be able to accurately describe and personify the moment where that happens is almost a Herculean task to be able to do, especially in the animated medium. And to have a song like Comme ce sera tard, which has got its, you know, almost upbeat Hey Jude homage to it, you know, while Shinji just loses it, he snaps, picks Asuka up by the neck, and is just choking her to death. And I didn't know what to do with myself when I first saw that theme. I was just like, this is it. Like, this is the pinnacle of anime. This is it. And that song will forever be that moment in time for me. But in particular, the lyrics to the song are just so... To me, it's always funny when you look at show, you know, you look at a stereotypical shonen show where they're like, we're going to fight and we're going to win and, you know, things might get hard, but we'll come out and friendship and teams and whatever. And then you have Comme ce sera tard, which has lyrics like, this is the place filled with kindness. There is no real pain. There is no wavering heart. Let's return to nothing. Let's return to nothing where there are no others. I hurt myself. Kindness is cruel. I mustn't fall in love. I hate myself. Some people laugh at that because it's edgy, but very few shows have the cojones, the balls, to really pull it off. And Comme ce sera tard is, that's why Comme ce sera tard is my number two.
Oh, man, you were taking me back. while I'm getting back to where we're at here. Oh, man, because you're right, absolutely. The music of the series and the film especially, wow, man, it sets the mood. Will, what do you have for number two?
Well, as I said, I had a method to my madness. My lower three, four, and five were TV themes that I liked from different TV series. Two was an OVA theme, and I had to dig through my collection of MP3s from God knows when, and I had some hard times doing this. I had, like, themes from Iria. I had themes from Record of Lotus War, which Record of Lotus War is really close to being on this. But my number two is from Macross Plus. It is Information High by Cream Puff. Again, the soundtrack for Macross Plus was done by the immortal Yoko Kanno. But Information High, it is an idol song, which, of course, if anyone knows Macross, idol songs are all over the place in this show. But this one is, in particular, it's the whole point of Macross Plus. The idol is the villain. That is the twist in Macross Plus, as well as opposed to some of the other Macross incarnations, where the idol is cheering on the team, kind of like Michael said a moment ago, is that you had friendship and love will conquer all. No, Information High is all about the computer screwing you and killing your friends. The whole point with the song is Gold Goa Bowman and Isamu Dyson are in their respective ships. They finally pitched in together, and they're going after to fight the Macross itself, the Superdimensional Fortress. And all through it, you've got this one idol who's just belting out gorgeous lyrics, showing tremendous vocal range, and you have this techno beat just drumming in the background. The drums never really stop. It is a high-end song from start to finish, and it's playing the entire battle. I've played that song many times when I was playing Descent on my gaming box back in the late 90s. That was one of my jams when I played video games, and it is a song that will just pump your blood. It is a good, good song, which is why it gets my number two.
Oh, man, that's kind of spoiler alert for me, but that's making me going, oh, gosh, I didn't get anything, not entirely in the same vein, but something that really gets the blood stirring. Why didn't I have anything from Gurren Lagann in my top five? Hindsight. For my number 2. I'm going to stick to my guns, my list I had, because it can't compare to what you guys have been saying here. You guys are connoisseurs here. Glad I brought you aboard for this. But, you know, it's my favorites. Not saying these are the ones I think are the greatest, which I was really good to have opinions on that. But I had to say that this had to be up there because I had, for me personally, because as much like you said, Will, when you had that experience of going back to something, and this literally happened to me, I'm like, oh my God, there's another verse. Oh my God, I've never heard the second verse. And that for me, I'm referring to is complete opposite of just the depths of despair, just nice peppy stuff now. But for me is Smile Bomb. And that's the opening to Yu Yu Hakusho. And you better believe it, that's nostalgia fuel for me, because I love Yu Yu Hakusho. I've loved it for a long time. And so I love that opening that brought you in. And that was another one, like we've been mentioning here. Japanese version is great. The English version is also great. That was back when, Funimation, like everybody else at the time, you know, you that was expected. You put in the effort when you were localizing it. You were localizing it, gosh darn it, but not to go on that sort of diatribe, was, I believe it was Sarah White was the singer of the English version, so I had fond memories of the first verse, and then coming back to Yu Yu Hakusho, to, in preparation for a certain script for a certain trivia show on all things anime, I went through it again, and that was a great experience, and... You know, I see the second verse, I'm like, oh my gosh, and I just had this weird experience where, you know, I was coming back to it after all these years, and, you know, it's like, oh, there's a side B, or oh, there's, you know, what's the other side of the coin? And hearing it from a much different perspective now, not when I was young, and speaking of, oh, Shonen, yeah, keep going, pushing for it, that was me in the first go through in the first verse very much. The second verse, though, it was a little more pertinent to where it was at, and it started out being a little more somber, even though it's obviously very much a very upbeat, fun song for Shonen title, certain demographic, and also just reiterating the parts of the lyrics where it's, I want to stop and grow up a bit, and I have a completely new perspective on the whole thing now, Yu Yu Hakusho, the whole song, Shonen in general, life in general, et cetera, as does everybody else when you've just gone around the sun a few more times, is just, you know, I remember those lyrics, I want to stop and grow up a bit. Well, I've done that, and there's a lot of days I want to stop. I want to stop. I've been there, done that, so it's great. You know, sentimental, good feels for me, and that's why it's my number two. I can listen to it anytime, any number of times, any time of day, any day of the week, and I love it. Here we are, folks. Number one, your number one personal favorite pick of all anime ever. No pressure. But here we go. Ready when you are, Chuck. What's your number one pick?
Well, like you said, the pressure is real. It's so hard to narrow something down to number one. And honestly, any piece in my top five, any piece in my top 20 could easily, in any given time of the day in my life, be number one. But the one that I find myself gravitating toward the most of the time is from, funnily enough, as you mentioned, Gurren Lagann, and that is Liberami from Hell. This is the piece that most people would know as Ro Ro Fight the Power, and I know many people think that the rap is stupid or the song is over the top, but to me, this fits so perfectly with Gurren Lagann and the themes of Gurren Lagann that it's just impossible to ignore the wonderment of this song. Like, just like the show, this song embodies in every single way the indomitable spirit of just never giving up, always giving your best, and overcoming the impossible. And when you're down in the dumps, this song and this anime will never, ever fail to bring you back up again. It is the lyrical and musical embodiment of just hope and perseverance and indomitable spirit, just like the series. And I can never, ever say enough about how much this song has inspired me to continue on slogging through life, slogging through the day-to-day grind, because just never giving up. When you give up, you've lost. And that's the great message of Gurren Lagann, is never, ever stop fighting, even against impossible odds. Do the impossible, see the invisible, row, row, fight the power. Like, as silly and as dumb as those lyrics may sound, when you actually listen and actually live out what that song and what this anime means, it is the most uplifting and inspiring message I've ever seen given through an anime and an anime soundtrack. And for those reasons and many, many more, I will always adore Liberate Me from Hell from Gurren Lagann.
It is a most excellent pick, sir. And it was just as we're doing this cast, I'm like, how did I forget about Gurren Lagann? But c'est la vie, hindsight's 2020. No regrets. But no, that is one as well. Straight up, it was about let's see, when that would have been, about 2 years ago now, 2013. I was straight out of college, and some dark clouds over my head on a few days, and there was a number of days when to just had to get somewhere where I could be myself, so it was usually my car and just blaring my stereo, row, row, fight the power, man. And some others from Gurren Lagann as well. I love that message, and like you said, Chuck, sure, maybe it's a little cheesy, whatever, but you know, when you need it, that's powerful, and it's a powerful message, and it's an excellent choice. Well, Mike, what do you got for number one?
Coming out of the cynical and nihilistic miasma that was the second choice for me, A Light of Crazy Sunshine, The Little Busters Ride on a Shooting Star, my favorite theme of all time, arguably, you know, it's always up there, is Blues Drive Monster from FLCL, done by The Pillows. FLCL, no matter where it's at, is always in the top three. Generally, sometimes the top two. I loved FLCL so much when I saw it. It was kind of like a game changer in a lot of ways, because it's so short, but it's so dense. It has so much stuff in it. But in particular, you know, I was talking earlier about, you know, being subjective. Obviously, these are our opinions and how much we really like them and some objectivity. But I think there's a reason that when FLCL came out on Adult Swim, and to this day is their highest rated anime of all time, you know, I think that this theme, as well as Little Buster's Crazy Sunshine, Ride on Shooting Star, it's not just perfect, but you cannot have one without the other. The Pillows music for FLCL, they are mutually inclusive. You cannot get rid of it. If you were ever to try and replace it, it would be a fool's errand. You could not do it. Not too many shows can really truly say that the music is that powerful. Every single theme. And, you know, we're talking about the best of the best here. You know, I'm really digging on this. I'm really crushing on this song right now. Like, no, the best. The one that you always go back to. Well, Chuck, it was, you know, Fight the Power. But for me, Blues Drive Monster is just, it's kind of really like the subtleness of what FLCL is. Because a lot of people will look at FLCL and see it as the crazy, zany, oh, it has no plot, I don't know what's going on. But Blues Drive Monster is kind of like the backbone of the show in a lot of ways. Because almost every single time we're coming to the climax of an episode and we're fighting that monster, and either Conti is getting ready to fire the gun, or you know, Haruko is flying on Conti, mimicking Daikon 4, or, you know, whatever the case may be, Blues Drive Monster is almost always accompanying it, and you can't help but get hyped. You know, you can't help but just be like, yeah, this is it, kind of in a shonen way, but in a completely different feeling. And man, oh man, it's all, it just, every time I hear that, I get goosebumps. Even 10 years later, 11 years later, it still gives me goosebumps. And I'd say that is a good enough reason as any to say it's my favorite of all time.
Indeed, good enough reason as any. And wow, I can't believe it's been a number of years for Fooly Cooly. Wow, one of those I'm feeling old moments. But like you said, it's a package deal, definitely there. Again, to reiterate, as if that was not enough people, like, this is one of the few times where, obviously, the soundtrack, the Fooly Cooly, FLCL, Furry Curry, whatever you want to say, but it is a series that cannot be overrated. It cannot. You could try your hardest. It cannot be overrated. So it's an experience, and a fantastic one at that. All right, Will, number one.
You would leave me to the end of this, wouldn't you? All right. So, again, my scheme here was bottom three were TV series. Second one was an OVA, which that was getting kind of hard. Top one's hard because it's movie themes. And I do loves me some anime movies noticed by looking at my shelf over here next to me. I have a lot of favorite anime movies. The Macross movie, Akira, Armage the Third, Polymatrix, and Dual Matrix. I love them both. I'm a Tenchi guy, and this is going to be a Tenchi theme. Some of you think you know which Tenchi thing I'm going with, because don't get me wrong, Alchemy of Love is one of my favorite themes. It's not my top. It's the top one I have right now is Tenchi Muyo Love 2's I Can Hear a Love Song by Anri. That song, I have a love-hate relationship with the movie and the song, because the movie in particular is so dramatically changes tone from the crazy, wacky adventures that you're used to, or even the sci-fi action that you've seen in the movie before. It is a slow burn drama. It pulls on the heartstrings. The soundtrack mimics that. The soundtrack is a lot more subdued. It is a lot more dramatic. It is a lot more orchestral than the previous soundtracks. Even the Tenchi Muyo Love soundtrack is primarily orchestral, but it has a lot of heavy percussion, a lot of big heavy themes. It's very much an action movie, more so than Tenchi Muyo Love 2. And this song in particular is very subdued. You have a single singer singing, and you have this beautiful violin work, very, very protracted, a lot of flourishes. It is a gorgeous song. And the theme in particular, if you listen to the lyrics, some of the lyrics are actually in English as well, as several songs like to do. They have mixed Japanese and English. I'll miss you always. The song is about goodbyes. And in many ways, this movie was kind of doing that. It was saying goodbye. Adieu, Tenchi Muyo was kind of what you were doing. They were rapping. They were rapping the universe continuity completely. They were saying goodbye. They're saying we're done. And in many ways, that's kind of how I feel about a lot of things, too. I'll miss you always, but it's time to move on. I can still hear that love song. And this song, it's through some of my most trying times, this song crops up and I can still get the feels, and reminds me that I'm still alive.
Wow, that's another excellent choice, and very poignant in a way, and obviously to you very personally. Will, thank you for sharing. Thank you all for sharing, but also for its associated franchise as well. And you know, anything in life, there's a time to say goodbye, and you know, hello and goodbye. It reminds me of a Simon and Garfunkel song. That's all there is. Hello, 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 goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. That's all there is. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful movie, too, as well. If any listeners out there, if you've seen Tenchi Muyo, there are movies for Tenchi Muyo. I know that me at first, I was like, what? There's movies? I never even... So check them out there. They will not disappoint. They're gorgeous works of art, as are their associated soundtracks as well. But on that note, that's right, on the note of Tenchi Muyo, and on the note of number ones here, I bet everyone here is going, oh, here we go. Because everyone in here right now can appreciate this choice of mine, and we all appreciate each other's as well in certain ways, but especially this one here. And like I said, spoiler alert, we did a whole episode on just soundtrack from Tenchi Muyo. We did a whole podcast about Tenchi Muyo, so we all have very strong feelings about it. So my number one, all anime, and I think forever and always, just for me personally, is it's called I'm a Pioneer. And it was used as the in the intro for the second OVA of Tenchi Muyo. As I said with Yu Yu Hakusho, Tenchi Muyo is a great example of, and also others mentioned as well, wonderful Japanese originals and great English adaptations as well. This was one where it's nice and catchy and fun, and I loved it when I was watching Tenchi Muyo back in 2000. My goodness, I can't believe that's actually so far away from us where we are now. But, you know, I never really paid all that much attention to the lyrics, and certainly didn't know all of the lyrics. About 2009, I wasn't sure where I wanted to go with my life, and I kind of got pushed kind of sort of and went to college, and it was a place and a school and a major, and I didn't even identify with, and I just, you know, it was a extremely difficult time in my life for that whole year, two semesters. So 2009 into 2010 is pretty rocky for me, and I was just like, where am I gonna go, what am I doing with my life, what am I gonna do with my life? And it was right around this time, coincidentally or contrived, but as it stands, I started getting back into Tenchi Muyo, and it was great. It was so much fun getting back into it, and I've elaborated upon that so many times over the years in TenchiCast and other places. And this song, when I got back to it, and I obviously having the internet at my disposal, I went and looked at all the lyrics, and I could hear the full version of the song finally. And I personally, Chisa Yokoyama does the Japanese version. Wonderful job. I personally, I'm attached to and prefer the one by Sharon Scott did the English version. She did a phenomenal job as well. And it's one very much, there's absolutely some cheesy or corny lyrics, whatever you want to say. You know, make fun of me for it. I don't care. When you read the lyrics, sure, they sound pretty cheesy or whatever the right word is for that. But, you know, listening to it in the song and where I was in life, this, it just spoke directly to me. And as we all know, and I hope everyone listening has experienced this at some point or another, not just anime, but music in general, when you come across a song that it speaks directly to you and where you're at, you know, it's just putting a pin in your heart. It's just like it's there forever now, and it will always mean something to you, and it's incredibly powerful and all that. So this one, you know, just with lyrics like, can't you see that you're a pioneer? You know, don't people laugh at you when you're a pioneer, not walking the straight and narrow path. So it's saying, don't listen to the haters. That's life. There's going to be haters. There's going to be people that'll try to bring you down. There's people that, sadly, that's all they know how to do is try to bring other people down. But, you know, the lyrics go on saying, you can't be a hero hiding underneath your bed. You got to go live the life you've created inside your head. And I love how it rhymes, and it's got a nice feel to it and works as a song. And again, it's corny and cheesy and all that stuff. But like I said, where I was at, you know, this really, really inspired me. And this was about the key thing. I had some other good influences and some good family members and friends helping me out as well. But, you know, this was one of the key things that really motivated me. We mentioned Outlaw Star earlier, and Hot Ice Hilda, and sort of that moment like we've talked about before, where Hilda goes to Gene, you know, are you just gonna keep running away? Are you gonna do it? You know, just do it. And you know, that's what that song said to me. That's what those lyrics said to me. And so it's always gonna mean a lot to me. And there's even sometimes I'll go back to it and just to remind myself, like, you know, I mean, other lyrics, you know, like, some will say you're safer here. Never mind them. Be a pioneer. And well, along the lines of, I mean, heck, even didn't plan this, but Fooly Cooly, you know, so many of us, you know, I'm a Midwestern kid, and it doesn't matter where you're from. So many of us, when you have that angst and you're growing up and you wanna go somewhere, you wanna go, but you don't know where. You wanna do, but you don't know what you wanna do, and you wanna be something. You wanna grow up, but you don't know what or who. So that just kind of, you know, like, had a lot of direct and indirect influences kind of sort of telling me, you know, why not take this quote-unquote safe road? Why not take the sure thing? Why not, you know, play it safe? And maybe it's not my place to tell people to not play it safe. There's times when you do want to, you know, you want security, and we all want that. But, you know, this song, it was, you know, like an Indiana Jones literal leap of faith where, you know, hey, it's a big scary world out there, and I can't promise you that you'll make it back, but you got to go out there. You got to be a pioneer, and you got to go for it, because there's, you know, as far as you know, there's only one shot. You get one shot at it, so go for it. And that's what I've tried to do ever since I went back to the song in 2009. Ever since then, that's kind of summed up everything, the motivation behind everything I do. So anyway, to conclude on that, put a cap on it, put a nice little bow on it. That was my number one choice, and I think it always will be. Before we conclude, does anybody have any honorable mentions that they want to get out there before we wrap up today?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, if this had been one based on, like, openings and endings, I think my list probably would have been a little bit different, because much like Chuck, I tried to stay away from those. But, you know, I will say that Gurren Lagann has some phenomenal stuff. You know, the alternate take of the rap is a man's soul. It's a phenomenal track.
Yeah, I had two. I mean, I had way more than two, of course, but I had two that made my sort of, like, maybe top five that I really only decided on while I was listing my top five here in the cast. And the other two that didn't quite make the cut were Cataclysm Over Paris from Giant Robo, which is just this absolutely incredible orchestral piece, just playing at the devastation and the horrors and the death and the destruction that take place in this scene. It perfectly encapsulates this, like, classical music end of the world theme, and is just part of a phenomenal OVA series that everyone who calls themselves an anime fan should watch. And the other was from a personal favorite of mine, Space Battleship Yamato. This is one is from the 1978 series. It is called, it doesn't have really a straight English name. The best I can come up with by translating is Dessler's theme, Loneliness, because he has a couple themes. And this one just has always stood out to me. It's so sad, and it perfectly shows the sadness and loneliness of this character who failed to be the world conqueror and failed to be the world savior and failed to be just a good, decent person, and whose only recourse was to just go off and either die or live alone in his loneliness and his failed dreams. And it's always stuck with me. It's one of the earlier soundtracks in anime, but it is, in my opinion, one of the best in terms of the range of emotions that it shows.
I had a big long list, which I had shared with the boys a little earlier. And I mean, I'm sorry, I have a thing for nice, cute openings and endings. I mean, I had a lot of favorite TV series back in the day, Scryde, Kenshin, Trigun, Evangelion, etc., which you guys already got Ava in there, movie themes like Macross, Akira, Tenchi in Love, Armageddon the Third. But there are a couple shows that are songs that I want to throw out, because one, they're from kind of a bygone era and they seem to have been lost to time, but also they have very, very good music. One is Armageddon the Third. Armageddon the Third had a very weird mix of essentially country music, techno, and interestingly enough, jazz, because the opening of Armageddon the Third Polymatrix actually has a jazz sax solo right in the middle of it. It is a very eclectic mix of music, which I would recommend. If you haven't seen Armageddon the Third, bloody do it, because you're missing out. Another series that has great music is Iria Zero and the Animation. It's a little 6-episode OVA. It was done by Yuzu Manga Corp back in the 90s was when it was released. But in particular, at the end of Waking Dreams, which is sung by Yayoi Goto, is a very good opening theme. It is just a very beautiful song. It has a lot of kind of weird sounds to it that I haven't heard anywhere else. A lot of synth in it. I really recommend the series as well as the soundtrack. And lastly, of course, Record of Lotus War, which has some of the best music ever. I'm talking about the original 90s OVA. And in particular, one song stands out to me, which is not a not a opening or ending theme. It is by Akino Arai, who does a lot of themes for different, or a lot of insert songs for different anime. But it's Kaze no Tori no Sora, which is wind to bird to sky. And it is the song that plays at the climactic ending of the OVA, where Parn is saving Deedlit. And I love that song. That is a gorgeous song. It brings me back to that moment every time. And folks, if you haven't found some older anime that have great soundtracks, I recommend you check out Armitage, Eerie, and Lotus War.
Awesome. I got a couple I kind of forgot about, but just as I was thinking, oh, is there any honorable mentions I can think of? And one that I really like, that's probably a lot of listeners out there probably have not heard before. It's from a short series, which is it's fun and it's very Slayers-esque, sword and sorcery. And Mike, you put me onto it. It's called Ruin Explorers, Famineri, Ruin Explorers. And the ending song, which I believe the English title is just Dear Myself. And it's just, it's a soothing little song. It's fun. And if you look into the lyrics, it's actually, you know, it's very sentimental. And speaking of sentimental, but this is going completely in the other way. I couldn't remember the name, and honestly, parts of me wants to forget it. But it's from anime. Now, you want to talk nihilistic and brutal, one of those types. It's called Black Lagoon, and also has just a intense action anime, and one with a phenomenal English dub. If any of those sound eye-catching to you, then it's a great watch. But be warned, it's going to take you to really dark places, and I'm not going to spoil it here. But one of the most dark places that it takes you to, one of the songs that's associated with that is called "The World of Midnight." If you've seen Black Lagoon and you just start playing that song for somebody, discretion there, because I can't guarantee what will happen. They might just jump on you and start pummeling you in the face, or they might attack whatever audio device it is that you're playing that off of, or like me, they'll probably just break down and weep. It's horrible. It's horrible, but that's probably why it wasn't in my top five, because I pick happy stuff that make me feel happy, and this does not make me feel happy, but it's extremely, objectively high caliber for the you know, the emotional impact of a emotionally charged series. Well, if we've all spoken our piece, which I think we did a great job with that of all the great works that are out there that we just couldn't list within five choices, I think we did a great job. And of course, it was all about sharing. It was all about your opinions. And so thank you, gentlemen, for being here today and for sharing those opinions. And thank you, listeners, again, for 100 subscribers. That's awesome. We're going to keep it going here, and we'll get back on track with the quote-unquote normal routine of where we have Peyton joining us as he's able to, and you know, covering various facets of various shows, various different genres, old and new, popular and niche. So if you enjoyed it, feel free to subscribe on YouTube. We're going to keep putting them up here. We're also on iTunes, and we've even got Facebook and Twitter for good measure, and we'll have all those links and more in the description of the upload on YouTube. So on that note, again, thank you everybody for your continued involvement. Thank you, gentlemen, for your involvement today and past involvement. And for everyone else out there, stay tuned. We've got more along the way. So we'll see you later.